It is Locked On Jazz for the 22nd of July. The summer interview series starts with the great Ron Boone, and we say goodbye to Derek Favors. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Glad to be back with you on Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, a lot of geeky numbers, and hopefully making it more fun to be a Jazz fan. As we move into the lull of the offseason, the moves are made, the roster is formed. We'll talk about it throughout the week, all the little moves. Ed Davis, Emmanuel Mudiay, and Jeff Green have all signed, and I would suspect that we'll hear from them this week in Salt Lake City so that we or something of the sort, so we may be able to check base with them a little bit for some news this week. But it's time for us to kick in to the summer interview series, and what that is we'll take one person that you know well over the course of a week, chat with them. We'll probably do about three shows a week, usually Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday if possible, and we'll have those interviews for you. Week one, Ron Boone and I will sit down. We'll talk about all the different things with the Jazz, and then in continuing into that, we will also look at the NBA on the Thursday edition of the program. So that's the plan with the summer interview series, and we'll kind of hopefully talk to Andy Larson, and we'll talk with Tony Jones, and we'll talk with Craig Bowlerjack, and hopefully talk to Thurl, and try to get him, but all the people you know over the next 10 weeks, 9 weeks, 8 weeks or so. And then also, if possible, I'm going to try to run a little bit of a Who Are They series with the behind-the-scenes crew of the Utah Jazz, ranging from our medical staff to our equipment manager to some of the PR department to some of those kind of things as we move into September. Usually the Jazz have camp starting in September, or not camp, OTAs. I mean, what happens is all these guys have places they play. It involves a lot of college players there. And then all the college players go back to school and they need places to have their games. And so what they end up doing is they end up coming back to their city where they play, and everyone after Labor Day is generally back, and then that's where they get their pickup games, is in that controlled environment of kind of an open gym. And they're usually, you know, that goes on for like 3 or 4 days a week, and then the guys go off and do their weekend things or whatever. That might be a little different this year with the World Cup. The Basketball World Cup will be taking place, and we're hoping Donovan makes the U.S. team, and we know that you know, Rudy will be on the French team, and that's running August 31st to September 15th. So that will change a little bit. And then, you know, when someone like Rudy comes back from that, you're actually going to want him to probably not play any. Probably want him to rest coming off of that. So it doesn't impact quite as many of our guys because we don't have Ricky Rubio anymore. In Spain, we don't have Raul Neto from Brazil, so it's not as big an impact on us as it has been. Predominantly, Rudy and Donovan are two of our most important players. I think Bogdanović is going to be playing for Serbia as well, so maybe in some ways our three most important players, and then Joe, I think, is still planning to play for Australia, so then maybe our foremost, so it still impacts us pretty heavily. I thought it's worth taking a second as we kind of have officially now moved past the Derek Favors era and moved on to, this new version of the team and Faves playing for the Pelicans, where I think he'll be wildly successful with Drew Holiday on the pick and roll. And frankly, he runs the pick and roll so much better than Anthony Davis does. It'll be interesting to see what Holiday can do with him. I think it's really interesting and kind of worth discussing for a minute before we get to Ron today on how Derek, how he is beloved and remembered and how much the organization appreciates him here. I think what's really interesting about it is that we traded Deron Williams for Derek Favors. And so here's a guy who came in and to some extent probably had huge pressure on him. He was a number three pick, He was at the franchise that once had Karl Malone. He was the best big man body we've had since Karl Malone. Boozer had been great here as well. We traded Deron Williams for him. There were all these expectations, and the game somewhat moved past him. You know, the skill set player that he was, this big man that you're hoping develops, going to develop some post skills and some things like that. Well, the game goes in a different direction. The big man becomes a different player. He doesn't have an outside touch. He doesn't have a natural jump shot. He can't really play the stretch four game. He's not quite big enough to be a five as the game evolves. Now he's probably big enough to be a five, and he purely is a five. And he's good enough defensively, but this confluence of events means that he comes to the Jazz with all this pressure. The game moves past him, and to some extent, he never really becomes that player that you want him to be when you got him in exchange for Deron Williams. He never became the all-star player. Then couple it with Rudy Gobert comes in, and now he doesn't even fit. And yet, that's the script by which there's usually a fan frustration or a player frustration. And there was none of that. And I think that's what makes Derek's tenure in Utah so interesting. And then you couple in the fact that, you know, he and Gordon were somewhat connected, and then Gordon leaves and Derek never voices any frustration. He signed, he never really had a chance to leave, frankly. Either in the free agent year, the Jazz offered him so much more money than anyone else on the market that he came back. But it's a testament to me a little bit to kind of a unique circumstance with Hayward leaving and that Derek was then here and remembered. Derek's professionalism to dealing with being usurped by Rudy. Derek, over the last year, might have been the most professional guy on the whole team. That implies somebody wasn't. I don't mean it that way. I mean it more just to his credit that, I mean, he just really gave it everything he had all the time, figured out his role, felt comfortable with it. I think embraced a little bit from a physical standpoint that maybe his body only plays 24 to 26 minutes a night. And I think that'll be interesting to see when he goes to this year in New Orleans, if they ramp him up to 30, if his body holds, maybe with a few years of not running at 30, it's going to be able to hold no problem. But it's a testament, I think, to Derek, to the organization, their communication with him, so that he always understood, I think, where he stood, that he was important to the organization. And just, you know, who Derek is as a person, that he just always kind of stayed on note and was solid for his run. You know, early in his career, the criticism was he didn't always play as hard as he needed to. There was some areas of that where you wanted bigger commitment out of him. And yet by the end, he was the consummate Jazz man. You know, once a Jazz man, always a Jazz man. I think will be beloved here for a long time. And it's just, what's interesting about that is, for him, and this is a testament to him, is that what the expectation or hope when you traded your franchise piece for him and what he achieved were not the same thing, and yet he left beloved. And I think it's a weird way to talk about it, because I don't mean it like as some backhanded compliment or something of that nature. I think that's actually the ultimate compliment, is that his earnestness of who he is as a person and his commitment was so obvious that maybe that disappointment became irrelevant. And that's what I mean by this. I hope that's clear. And that's what I mean by that. All right. Ron Boone and the summer interview series coming up. Today's show is brought to you in part by the fabulous people over at Murdoch Chevy. The July Pioneer Day events are going on. They've got all sorts of fun things taking place. I mean, when you talk about Chevy, you're talking about the Murdoch family, 90 plus years in Utah, commitment to the state. Chevy is the ultimate American brand, the great truck lineup. The SUVs are terrific. That Equinox, the 2019 Equinox LT, is just $299 per month on a lease right now. And the Silverado Crew Cab All-Star Edition, that 2019 unbelievable truck, 0% APR for 72 months. Join the parade at Murdoch Chevy and save. Celebrate the days of 47 with a new Murdoch for the entire month of July. You receive a $500 Visa gift card when you finance your Murdoch vehicle through Golden West Credit Union. The Murdochs have been part of Utah for over 90 years now. Chevrolet has cemented itself as part of the Utah and American culture. And you can join in with all of that at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also out in Logan. Summer interview series kicking off. And if we're going to kick off the summer interview series, we're going to do it with my partner, Ron Boone. Chat about the league. We actually have not talked as much as usual since Summer League. And a lot of things kind of went down during Summer League, but we haven't had a chance to catch up, Ron. So,
One of us has been all over the world. And it's definitely not me.
That in this case,
Hawaii,
I'm guilty.
Japan, San Diego, Heber. Where else? I don't know.
I think that's, you know, Heber. I think Heber was the highlight.
Right.
Let me get your overall kind of. When the off season started, the big move was to move away from the Derek Favors Rudy Gobert combo. Did you think the time had come for that to end?
I didn't give it as much thought after we left Houston as I did maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month after that. And you get to the point where you're starting to analyze the team that we had at that time. And then I come to the realization that we had gone as far as we could go with the team we had at that point. So you knew that a lot of changes had to be made. And when I say a lot of changes, I thought maybe 4, something like that. But I didn't anticipate as many new faces as we have right now. Now, you make moves, you make trades, you sign guys. You know, what players are the other teams going to want? They're going to want something, you know, and to get Mike Conley, you know, the Jazz had to, you know, put Derek Favors in that position to the point where he had to move on. Even though as popular as he was, as much as we liked him, this team was not built for the type of player that he was.
When you think about just how dramatically different this team is now, it goes from being big and non-shooters to small and shooters. What's your thought on, we'll get into the specifics and each of these guys, but what's your thought on just how different this team is?
You know, and that was my point I was going to make to you and ask you about here, because if you look at the size of the players that the Jazz have signed and traded for and that type of thing, you know, you can see they're built for speed and to shoot the basketball. This is going to be a fun year to watch, knowing that this is the type of personnel I think that Quinn really wants. What I'm excited about, David, is you know, you and I go to training camp. We go to a lot of practices, and we're going to get a chance to see players competing in practice. I mean, there's some guys I think that. Going to work very, very hard in training camp.
What is your Mike? Let's go to Mike. Let's go specifically to Mike Conley. What does Mike Conley do for the Utah Jazz on the court? I mean, off the court, it's been obvious, right? I think all of these free agents have somewhat signed because Mike Conley is here. I feel like he, without ever playing a game for this franchise, has changed who they are a little bit. But what does it do for on the floor to have Mike Conley running the show?
This is, you know, from what I see right now, I mean, how important is leadership on a basketball team? How important is senior leadership on a basketball team? And I think, first and foremost, that's what he's going to bring. And you've heard some of the comments, some of the interviews that he's had about, you know, about this team and how excited he is. And how about, in particular, Donovan Mitchell, on how he wants to make Donovan Mitchell a better player. How he's excited about, you know, the growth of Donovan Mitchell and the fact that now Donovan Mitchell has another player that can handle the basketball, that can make plays out there on the floor, and he just thinks it's going to help. I think for sure it's going to help as well. Now, I know during the course of the season, David, you and I talked about how when Donovan got a chance to run the point guard, that made him a better player at that point. Even though his numbers were not that good, but he got to the point where he was kind of understanding the role of a point guard and the things that he had to do out there. Now, with the type of point guard that Conley is, It's going to change his game a little bit because now hopefully he becomes a better catch and shoot player and not have to play with the ball in his hands in order to make things work on the offensive end of the floor. I see a tremendous amount of growth in Donovan Mitchell because of Conley. And Rudy and everyone else, you know, that's going to get a chance to experience what Conley can do out there on the floor.
I mean, you talk about Donovan's catch and shoot. That's been his strength the whole time. And when he suddenly gets catch and shoot stuff, that's what gets me excited about Donovan. I think Donovan was close to, I'll have to look it up. Donovan was 40% for the season on catch and shoot. And I think if you go back to, like, since Kyle Korver, like December 1 or something, I mean, I'd have to remember. I can pull it actually. Let's go to January 1. I think he was close to 50% catch and shoot after he was 48.3% on catch and shoot threes after January 1st.
Okay. Let me now, those are catch and shoot from good ball movement, correct?
Yep.
What was he catch and shoot running off screens? What was he catch and shoot in transition? You know, that type of thing. I think the important thing, the way the Jazz like to execute, is the catch and shoot running off screens, I think, is going to be something that he's going to have to work on. Those catch and shoots, you know, because of the way the Jazz move the basketball and there's not a defender 5 feet, 10 feet away from you, you know, that's a little bit different than coming off a screen, bam, catch it. Now I got to get rid of the basketball.
What do you think Donovan – I have my answer to this question, but what do you think Mike Conley does for Donovan off the court?
If they talk and Donovan listens, it's going to be off the charts. It's going to be tremendous. And you get the feeling that Conley definitely wants to reach out to Donovan. And if you listen to Donovan and well, we know Donovan pretty well. He's been here 2 years. And how often – how many questions does he ask about – things to that goes on out on the floor. How much did he rely on Johnny Bryant as far as things that he needed to make himself better in practice and as far as a player? So I think this is going to be a growth year for Donovan Mitchell. As great as he's been, there's still some more of Donovan Mitchell that I think that we haven't experienced yet.
Here's my off-the-court take on what I think he does for Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan Mitchell wants to be an amazing kid, an amazing adult. I think he has every intention in the right place. And I think Mike Conley lets him know you can be a star in this league and be that good a person. And I'm not sure that that's a message that a lot of other guys other than Mike Conley can send to him. I mean, Durant's not trying to be that great a person. Russell's pretty quiet off the court and I think has been miscast. Harden's isn't trying to do that. Not trying to be bad, but he's just not trying to be what Donovan's trying to be. Mike Conley is the sportsmanship award winner, is the teammate award winner, is one of the great community guys in the league. And he is going to be able to show Donovan you can be this great a guy and protect yourself and protect your family in a way I'm not sure anybody else can.
You know, David, you just touched on something that I think is going to validate what Donovan is all about and what he wants to be. I thought he was going in that direction anyway. But now hearing it from someone with the credentials and that Conley has, that's, you know, what else could you ask for as far as leadership? And we touched on leadership here a few minutes ago, and that's where it's going to come in. That's where that senior leadership is going to come in for a player like Donovan Mitchell. Hearing something like that from Conley, and not only hearing it and listening to it, but, you know, you lead by example a lot of times. You know, he sees what Conley's done or what he's doing, and you know, if you're one of those guys like Donovan who's always trying to get better at something, you know, he's going to pick that up for sure.
Ron Boone is with us. We continue. It's the summer interview series. It's underway. We'll talk about the shooting this team is at as we continue here on Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you go grab the Locked On NBA Net feed on Twitter and on Instagram for you. It's all the Locked On Podcast Network experts in one place. You can follow me on Instagram at DLock09 as well. More with Ron Boone coming up on Locked On Jazz. Summer interview series brought to you in part by Homie. Homie revolutionizing the real estate market here in Utah. It's a great story. A bunch of guys came out of the BYU Business School. They had great success in the property management field, and then they wanted to build their next program. They looked at an industry that they said needed to be changed and altered, and that is the real estate market. Why? Because it didn't make any sense that everyone's paying out 6% every single time. No, it does not. Instead, why should you be paying more if you've remodeled your house? Why should you be paying more if you've made the right purchase? What? Nope. Instead, it's a flat fee with Homie. Homie is simplifying all their selling fees and getting it done for you. Here's what it is. It's a $1,500 flat fee. What does that do for you? You know exactly what you are going to pay. It's not going to be based on whether you get the right price or whether it's $1,500 and you save all the rest of the equity. Is it working? Yep. The Homie team is selling houses at faster than the market rate, as well as at a little higher price than the median market rate. So check out Homie. Learn more about my friends at Homie by texting LOCK, LOCKE, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. And see how Homie is revolutionizing the real estate market and giving you a chance to save more equity by texting LOCK, LOCKE, to 88588. Well, Ron, it became at times for us, almost uncomfortably comical, if that makes sense, where we would, ball swung around, wide open shot, no good. Particularly in the playoffs, it really became something overwhelming. How excited are you to see what this is and how much this team can shoot?
I am very, very excited because you get the feeling, David, that this is going to be a great shooting year. Your starters, you're going to have players on that can shoot the basketball as starters, guys coming off the bench that can shoot the basketball. And if the Jazz execute their offense, do the things that they do from game to game and how they prep from game to game on the type of offense they can run from game to game, those same shots are going to be there for the Jazz. Now, you put yourself, and I'm sure you put these numbers together as far as what the Jazz have added as far as two-point field goals or maybe even three-point field goals, what they've added and what that averages out to. And it has to be, without a doubt, overwhelmingly better than what we had last year.
I mean, the catch-and-shoot stuff is just crazy. High pick-and-roll – who do you want with the ball? Tell me, you want Conley with the ball or you want Donovan with the ball? Give me your choice.
I think if I have my preference right at the beginning of the season, it's definitely going to be Conley.
All right, then you give me Conley in a pick and roll, and I run the pick and roll with Rudy. Then I've got Donovan Mitchell 40% catch and shoot, Joe Ingles 40% catch and shoot, Bojan Bogdanović 45% catch and shoot, replacing 34% Ricky Rubio, 34% Jay Crowder, and 22% Derek Favors.
Huh. That says it all right there. The fact that the Jazz had gone as far as they could go with the team that they had. And they had a great year. They established a lot and really, put themselves into the playoffs, win 50 basketball games. Now, with the type of team they have, David, what's next? How good can this team be? How many games can they be? Can they win this year? And I know the ceiling is very, very high, and the city, the state, for the most part, is very excited about this team.
So, Mike,
but David,
I know we'll get to it. I'm not letting you go there yet. We'll get there. We got a few we got a few elements to this interview. We'll get there.
All right.
Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Bojan Bogdanović, all in the top 50 in catch and shoot 3-pointers last season of players who took two or more. All in the top 50.
Those numbers says it all right there. There's no excuse now for the Jazz not to have to struggle to win 50 ball games. Because if they shoot the basketball the way those numbers say, they're going to be in every basketball game and probably win, most of them.
The biggest one that jumps out to me on this, okay, we're talking about shooting, but just pure scoring, right? So we went from, if Donovan Mitchell was not scoring, the next chance we had was a Joe Ingles, Derek Favors pick and roll, kind of. And the fact is, if you dug into Joe Ingles' pick and roll numbers, they were pretty, or overall numbers, they were pretty ugly when he was on the floor without Rudy, because he couldn't shoot, you know, he can't shoot if he's the one handling the ball on those. And so now all of a sudden you go to Mike Conley. You now have Donovan at 20 plus points a game. You have Mike Conley, who last year was 19 point. What was he last year? Points per game. He was 21.2. He was 20.5 2 years before that. You had Bogdanović, who was 20 points a game after Oladipo got hurt. You've suddenly got three guys on this roster that can just put the ball in the bucket.
And I think to add to that, David, and I saw some film clips of Bogdanović, the fact that you can push the ball ahead with him, he can take the ball to the floor and make a play or get all the way to the basket. And obviously, we know how well he can shoot the basketball. That weapon there, you remember last season when the Jazz were trying to get the basketball over the midcourt, try to get into the offense at the 22nd clock, you know, as quick as possible to give themselves that extra 2 or 3 seconds on the clock in order, you know, to make their offense work because of the lack of ball handlers with Derek Favors and, you know, guys like that that could make a play. So with what they've added, not only they've added shooters, they've added guys that can handle the basketball there as well, which is going to be fascinating to see how Quinn handles this. And to the point where everyone gets a chance to be effective with the strength of their game, if you know what I mean.
Well, the thing I love, and we've talked about this a lot, I think a huge area it's why Joe Ingles is so good at stuff in this league, is playing pick and roll where the defender's not used to playing pick and roll. So if you're a point guard in the league, you're used to being in, what, 70 pick and rolls a night? But if you're the small forward or power forward, and suddenly Joe Ingles or Bojan Bogdanović are coming off a Rudy Gobert pick, you're probably not used to defending that in the same way. Do I switch? Do I not switch? What do I do? And I think that's why Ingles has been so effective in the pick and roll, and I suspect that the Jazz will be able to, in their multiple pick and roll system, be able to do a lot of the same things.
And that's what I meant by Quinn putting himself in a position now where he has so many options but with the type of players that they brought in. Most of these guys, what, 6'8", somewhere in there, 6'6", guys that can handle the basketball and experience and making plays. This is not a young team anymore. So this team is going to be very, very interesting. Rudy, and as you mentioned, in that pick and roll, is going to be a little more effective, I think, this year than he was last year. Meaning he should get better looks this year because of the how afraid they'll be to not defend, you know, the guy coming off the screen, the Donovans and Joe Ingles and those guys. So this is going to be fun.
Do you think that – so Rudy Gobert shot 36%. Between 3 and 10 feet, which is, to his credit, just, it was 22, it went up to 28, it then was at 31, it's now at 36 over the last 4 years. Can Rudy Gobert at 5 feet, so they run a pick and roll and somehow the ball gets to Gobert and they hold on every other shooter and they're not going to leave the shooters and Rudy's got it down, can he learn to be effective at 5 feet?
Boy, David, I think I'm pretty optimistic that he can, because I've seen him work on those things. I've watched Alec Jensen work with him on those at that range. I've watched Vince, the other assistant coach, work with him on that range and try to work with him with his back to the basket. That's going to be up to Rudy. I mean, that's going to definitely be up to Rudy on working on those type of little jump hooks. I really don't like that push shot. At 7'1", I'd rather see the little jump hook or something like that. But that's going to be up to him in order to, I mean, that should be a 60% shot, you know, for someone that size. 50% at least, don't you think?
You would hope so.
From 5 feet? from 5 feet?
You would hope so. He's Ron Boone. Tomorrow's show, we touch on the big question of whether Jazz can be elite, and one reason why Ron is exactly right about Rudy Gobert and how massive a year he might have, even if he doesn't learn that little five-footer. We'll do all that tomorrow, or coming up on later this week on Locked On Jazz. More coming this week with Ron Boone on the summer interview series. We'll have that for you on Wednesday this week as well. Locked On NBA is still daily for you each and every day on the Locked On NBA podcast, giving you 30 minutes on the biggest news, stories, and all the breakdowns around the NBA. Make sure you follow that. Go grab it now. Tell your smart speaker to play the podcast, Locked On NBA. Have a great day.